In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So in our epistle passage that Ella read for us today, the Apostle Paul gives us a veritable serving platter of virtues that the elect of God ought to be practicing, that the elect of God ought to be living, that we ought to put on. Tender mercies is the first one listed. The beginning mark of a Christian is mercy that is tender and that is compassionate. And to the extent that our heart is not tender towards those with whom we disagree or struggle, to that extent we have yet to take that first step toward God. And of course, there's more. There's kindness. There's humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness. These are all in imitation of Christ. Ultimately, Paul says, above all of these is love. Love is perfection. Love is the seal of perfection. Now, what I'd like us to notice here is the words that Paul uses for us to live these virtues. The words he says is, put on these things. Put on these holy virtues. It's the same words that would be used for clothes or for a uniform. Put on tenderness and kindness and love. Wear them as your own clothing. Where you move, they move. Where you go, they go. So it's something that's with you all the time. Now, I draw your attention to this metaphor here to put on virtues, because in the previous paragraph in Colossians, actually that the previous paragraph was read just before the Christmas holidays. It gets split up this year. The second paragraph was today. But in the previous paragraph, Paul first told us to take off, using the same word for clothing, take off the bad stuff. Anger, malice, cruel words. It's the same image. You take off the dirty clothes, your dirty laundry, your soiled uniform. You don't put on your holy uniform without first taking off what's dirty. That's how people function. I saw on ABC National News this past week, they featured a local hero, and I apologize that I forget her name. She's a teenager, lives in an apartment complex that has a pond in the middle of the courtyard. Now, this teenager was looking out her window and saw three little kids walking along on the frozen pond and no adults anywhere to be seen. And suddenly the ice gave out and these little kids fell in. Now, this pond is 15 feet deep. So this girl, this teenage girl, she races outside, goes to the pond, and ends up rescuing all three kids, one of whom had stopped breathing and their heart had stopped. And so she did CPR, which she learned in a class. And another neighbor saw the commotion and called 911 and brought blankets out. Now, this is the part that has to do with our lesson today. They didn't just wrap the wet kids in blankets, leaving their icy wet clothes on them against their skin. What do? They first strip off the wet clothes and then put on the dry, warm blankets. Those old and wet and icy clothes were killing these kids with hypothermia. First, they stripped off the old clothes and then wrapped them in the new and warm blankets. And in a similar way, St. Paul first tells us to strip off the sins that are killing us in order to truly put on the virtues of Jesus Christ. Our son Ben once, he was about 4 years old. He had this stuffed St. Bernard named Beethoven after the movie. And he had to take Beethoven everywhere. He would not go anywhere without Beethoven. Sometimes he'd put Beethoven in his little colored kid backpack and carry him that way so that his hands would be free to do little boy stuff, but that he'd still have Beethoven with him. And once it was time to get dressed to go somewhere, and he had taken a bath and he put on his backpack before he even got dressed, and we said, no, you got to put your shirt on. And he didn't want him to take the backpack off. So he tried to put his shirt on over the backpack. I don't know if any of you parents have ever dealt with kids trying to dress themselves. But so I just sat back and kind of watched the show for a few minutes, to try to get his shirt on over this backpack. Finally, he came to the realization that the backpack had to come off before the shirt was going to be put on. And that's kind of cute for a preschool kid, right? But if a teenager or adult were doing that, that would be a monument to foolishness. These are perfect illustrations of what Paul is teaching. We have to take off what weighs us down in order to live in virtue. There are sins we need to unburden. So the question for us is, which sins first? Which sins first? You know, I always seem to commit the same sins my whole life, you might say. Where do I start, you might wonder. And here I think our gospel passage can be quite enlightening. Jesus encounters this rich young ruler who wants the kingdom of heaven, who wants life. And deep down, he knows he's lacking something, even though he follows the commandments. Jesus tells him one thing, just one thing that you lack. You need to sell all you have, give away the proceeds, and then come follow me. That's what you lack. Now, because he was rich, that was too big. That was too much for him. As listeners to the story, we tend to focus on what the man had to give up. You know, oh my gosh, sell everything you have. But St. John Chrysostom reminds us that the one thing the rich man lacked actually refers to following Jesus. Following Christ is the one thing he lacked. The thing he lacked was not the dumping of his wealth, it was the following of Jesus. But the dumping of the wealth was necessary for him in order to put on Christ. Because of his wealth, riches were what he needed to take off in order to put on life. Riches were his backpack. Wealth was his wet clothes sucking the life out of him that he had to put off in order to live in Christ. And so today I'm going to give each of us, each of you, a little bit of homework. I'm going to ask you to determine what is your backpack. What are your wet clothes that are sucking the heat out of your spiritual life? When Jesus comes to you and says, follow me, what is the biggest and most important obstacle in your life that you need to put aside in order to follow Christ, in order to put on Christ? Now, for one person, it might be wealth, just like the rich man. There might be an abundance in your life that needs to be donated to the underprivileged. For another person, their primary weight might be something else. Maybe it's anger. Some people struggle with anger and realize, I can't live the virtues of Christ when I struggle with this anger. Another person, it might be an inability to forgive, a grudge we hold. Could be a stubborn spirit. Could be a judgmental attitude. Or maybe it's something internal like self-loathing, that we reject the very gift God gave us of our own self. Another person, it could be lust, or it could be workaholism, or it could be social media addiction, it could be politics, prejudice, doubts in the faith, any number of things. I mean, the list is unfortunately endless. And of course, to truly find life, we do need to strive to shed all sin. But as the Lord's encounter with a rich man teaches us, we do have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. And he says to start with what in your life is heaviest. What in your life is the most burdensome, is the most life-sucking part of your spiritual experience. So for the rich young ruler, Jesus knew that in order to follow him, this ruler had to shed his wealth. And so your homework is this. Jesus comes to you today and offers you life by putting on his virtues, by following him. And your homework is to determine and discern what's the first and the biggest burden you need to shed to embark on this path. Amen.